Hey guys, this is Ben with the episode 7 of the Code Career Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. I'm here with my co-host Nick Kramer, and we're just going to do a general chit chat today, catch up. It's been a while since we've talked, and you know, typically whenever we get together, we do typically share decent resources. So I'm excited for this. But yeah, Nick, what's been going on? You said things are kind of going, but are you like a little bit stressed with a new company or a new project?
It's been like, it's just been crazy. It's been a crazy 2 months. I mentioned this, what was it, in the Kent episode? Yeah, the last episode. It's been a while. Yeah, I got the new job back in beginning of July, and I've just been kind of traveling for work and had vacation and stuff, and you know, just trying to kind of figure everything out. We just actually had just got back from like a offsite retreat for our entire engineering team for like a, how are we doing? What can we fix? What can we actually take action on? So we're not just like talking about the problems and then all of a sudden, hey, let's pat ourselves on the back. We had a meeting and then nothing gets done. So, but yeah, just refining our process, man. It's been nuts. Just trying to figure out all the little tiny things, you know, and you run into stuff where I've only been there a month and a half to 2 months now. And it's like, okay, well, why is this thing a thing? And do we still need it? Like trying to, all those tiny things that crop up. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. I mean, I can rant on this stuff all day, but you know, it's just, I don't want to say stress. It's just the stress of making sure that I'm doing a good job because the company, you know, like things are good. Things are good. What have you been up to, man? Like anything crazy? Kind of had a couple, a little bit of a text the other day, but.
Yeah. Recently moved in with my girlfriend, Kat, who's actually sitting next to me. We're both starting our own businesses. So pretty stoked about that. She's starting her own little, baking business. I forget the technical term for it.
Cottage foods
business. And it's pretty cool. She's, you know, putting together, you know, like business cards, flyers, and all that stuff right now as we speak. And couldn't be more proud of her. And yeah, personally, just working on setting up my own small dev shop. Still, I think, going to primarily focus on like very simple web apps and WordPress websites to start. And then from there, probably branch out and try to develop a couple of SaaS apps. But still pretty early stages, but I'm excited about it.
What kind of shop was that again? Like what? I'm curious about that now. I know it's totally not tech, but you know, like what's that all about? You might have mentioned that and I just totally spaced because I was trying to set up some doc stuff, but I'm sorry.
No, you're good, man. Yeah, so just like a simple development shop for WordPress websites.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry. I was talking about your girlfriend's shop. My bad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Cottage Foods. It's basically like a, yeah, I think it's kind of like a loophole, at least here in Florida, where you can basically have like a food services company. And as long as you, you know, like bake certain goods under, she's the expert on this. I don't know so much about it, but I believe you can just bake like a specified list of goods that are fall in line with the local laws. And you don't have to get a food license or anything like that, as long as you're, you know, properly preparing them. You're not hiring any employees to prepare the food. You know, you're the sole owner. So yeah, it's pretty cool. She can make things like, you know, cookies, biscuits, really good, like little brownie muffins, popcorn balls. I mean, really the sky's the limit on that. It's kind of cool.
Nice. Now back to you with your stuff. Yeah, just kind of keeping it simple, man. Agency stuff is, or even just like freelance and stuff is rough. It can be depending. I found out that I don't have the work ethic to go out and find clients right now. But yeah, how are you finding that going so far? Did you just like kind of start that within the past couple of weeks, or like what's the traction been on that?
Yeah, honestly, just in the past week, pretty much been doing how I want the company to operate, setting up branding and that sort of stuff. I feel like you were saying, that is the fun and the easy part when it comes to actually tracking down clients. That is definitely the most stressful part of it. So yeah, a week in and I feel like I'm dragging my feet on the most important portion of, you know, actually bringing in clients. Not an aspect of running my own company that I typically enjoy. you know, I've done freelance in the past, and it's just been quite frustrating, to be honest. Ultimately, I think what I'm going to try to do is use my personal brand a little bit to try to find like a few contracts that could be worked remotely, and then probably build like a smaller dev team under myself. So, you know, I would still be the primary point of contact for those projects, but I would have the support of a team. I think I'll try that more so non-traditional route.
Having a couple people that at least even like one person that you trust to get stuff done and maybe kind of help split the workload definitely takes a lot of stress off. That's for sure. It would be really beneficial. So even just having like a friend to do it with, or, you know, and you have enough of a following with the Bent Spack brand, and then even just possibly leveraging all the stuff with Cody Career too, you know, and whatnot might actually be pretty beneficial too. Could at least kind of get like the first bit to get some stuff rolling. That would, so now that I know, I might actually trying to think, I might have something, but I'm not sure. I'd have to kind of chat, you know, off script or whatever it is with you about it. But, yeah, one of my old employers finally called me back, and I was going to end up working on their project. And they were like, oh, hey, you want to work on the thing? And I'm like, no, because I'm in a good spot, but I don't want to drag you along. So I'll have to hit them up. That was a couple weeks ago, so who knows? But anyway, yeah. So yeah, simple like WordPress-y type stuff and like simple apps. So just so you can kind of just get stuff done and out the door. Is that pretty much?
Yeah, that was my mindset. And honestly, I started looking into how to develop a WordPress app, like a full, you know, PWA or like a full SaaS app with WordPress. I know that's not the typical use case. You know, it's still very much used for like a simple CMS. But I'm thinking, I mean, it is programmed in PHP, and while it doesn't follow, you know, like the very strict MVC framework, I mean, it still has themes, which is pretty much the same thing as views. It's got plugins, which is pretty much the same thing as models. So I was just thinking like, well, you know, why not use a well-supported framework and try to build out SaaS, you know, products that way.
Okay. I wasn't sure if you were going to end up going with the old, what is it? The old headless CMS stuff or two, but yeah, you definitely could get a long way with just using themes and plugins. That could be, you might be onto something, man. I haven't really, if that's like kind of your wheelhouse, I haven't really heard anybody, I've seen people like shoehorn it in just because, but actually kind of trying to make some sort of like a set of things. Heck, that could even be something that's beneficial to people as a product itself too. So that would be really interesting.
Yeah, definitely. You know, ultimately what I want to do is bring in just a little bit of business on the agency side, but not too much to where it's overwhelming, because I certainly want the core focus to be, you know, plugin development and a SaaS app development. You know, I've done the freelance and agency thing in the past, and it's been a lot of headaches, you know, having to track down like deadbeat clients and like trying to send them to collections firms or threatening litigation or, you know, not necessarily all those horror stories, but some, you know, just the pain points of having to go back and forth with clients that want high touch, for example. You know, I imagine you have some experience with that as well.
To a degree, I've only had a couple actual clients, but I mean, it wasn't too bad just because I kind of automated some stuff. I use FreshBooks for some of my stuff. So it's one of those things where when I write even just like my quotes and everything, I have a thing at the bottom. So, you know, whenever they sign, it's essentially saying, hey, if this is late by a month or whatever it is, the price goes up X percentage and stuff. And then everything is automated. So I'm not actually going out there and chasing them down. I mean, there's some point, like you do actually have to go down and say, hey, you know, be like that Family Guy clip, where's my money? But you have the actual app. I mean, there's more than just FreshBooks out there, but I listen to too much stuff, you know, and they sponsor so much that they're like ingrained in my head on different shows. But, you know, and so it's like, if you let the tools do it or find something that allows a tool to like kind of enforce that stuff for you, then it's like a lot less awkward. And then two, people understand more, I guess. It's like kind of because, oh, hey, it's not, I didn't do it. It's the tool. Even though I set it up to do it that way, it's still the tool, you know? So it's definitely something to help with really, that.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, there was that episode of Silicon Valley where, did you ever watch that show by chance?
I got like halfway through season one because I'm horrible with shows in general. So,
oh, okay, no worries. Well, essentially, there's this episode where this guy had a AI that he could basically just interact with from his phone, and it would just like announce to his son, "Hey, it's time to go to bed. Hey, it's time to brush your teeth." And he's like, "Hey, it's not." You know, whenever his kid would protest, he's like, "Hey, it's not me, it's her." You know,
oh, same principle. That's so perfect. That is so perfect. I need to catch up on that show. I've heard a lot of that. It's pretty solid. It's pretty good. They bring up some spicy topics once in a while, I know.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, tell me a little bit about the retreat and stuff that you guys did, because you know, I'm legitimately interested. I think it's rare that a lot of companies really focus on their process that much, and I think it's fantastic that they take that approach.
So I'm going to kind of just like blab about my company for a minute because it kind of leads into that and like the whole culture thing that we have going on. So I'm not sure if you, I think you listened to last episode, but either way, or if you check my Twitter and all that stuff, like I work for Tufts and Needle now. And the entire like culture. And one thing that we did during like they flew everybody out for the first week for orientation. So there was like seven of us. They do it like at the beginning of every month for the new people. And they gave us kind of like a class on the company, essentially like a series of classes along with like us getting acquainted with everything, like within our own individual teams. So the, one of the big things is our culture and like the feedback and how, what we really do is we are about like, yes, we sell an actual physical product, which is, you know, mattresses and mattress type stuff, like related products and everything. But at the end of the day, like as an engineering team and whatever, like we care, and all we care about is that we get the work done first. And then everything else is like all those like crazy red flag type things that you would normally see, like, oh yeah, we have like half day Fridays during the summer. And, you know, you can fly out to Phoenix, you know, whenever you want, blah, blah, stuff. Not whenever, you know, but within reason. And, you know, we do all this cool stuff, but that's secondary because we treat our engineers and like our entire company like really, really well. And we trust everybody to do their job. And like, a lot of us are remote because like you know, it's like you have faith in the people because that's the product. That's like the core of what we do. And we're big on feedback and just making sure that like, hey, if something's going on, we need to figure it out and fix it. Right. We're one of those unicorn startups that actually kind of like made it and had a good foundation. So that's kind of like leads into this whole retreat thing, is they've done this for a couple of years now for the engineering team, is we, the first day, we also realized that it should have been an entire day thing. It was called a pain dream fix like workshop that we did. So the first bit is we ended up actually going through and saying, okay, what are some pain points that we've found? And then we're just going to like write down three things that just are pain points for you in your everyday work and put them on a sticky note and put it on the wall. And then we kind of group them up into, because whenever you do that, we did something similar to that with our culture class and stuff too, with like things we hated about companies or management teams or all that other stuff. And we grouped all those things. And then we ended up being five or six different things. So one of them was like communication a little bit, like, hey, we wish that we had some better communication in these areas. We wish that we had, better, like we wish that like PRs, you know, one of the big things and some of the stuff that we did was we broke into groups on each individual of these topics that we ended up kind of grouping into. We broke some of the there was like five or six, I forgot all of them. I was in the pull requests aren't, you know, like they aren't either treated well or we take too long to approve them and stuff. So the whole thing was the five whys, which is why if you ask why something five times, you kind of drill down into what the actual core is there. Like, oh, hey, why are PRs slow? Well, maybe it's because people aren't checking the repos. Well, why aren't people checking the repos? Well, because we aren't communicating things properly. Why aren't we communicating things properly? Because we're over, you know, possibly that, oh, hey, maybe we have too much on our plate, but, you know, like it kind of like drills down to what the actual thing was. And then we ended up actually going through, this was like 5 hours that day. And it was just, I feel like we could have done a lot of really good things with it if we had the entire day. We end up kind of drilling down and saying, okay, here's some of the issues and here's some action points. So we're not just patting ourselves on the back. So that was very interesting. And that was really cool. And we all had kind of like some exercises we had to do and we kind of presented some stuff and talked about that. So that was the first part of the first day. So we went to Salt Lake City and rented like to back up a bit. While we're already this hardcore deep into this, we went to Salt Lake City, down, just north of Provo, I think, or whatever, south side. And we rented like three or four houses for like 4 days, like vacation home type thing. So we kind of split up, and so we actually had a place to sleep, and then we met in some of the houses. So so we did that. We did a big JavaScript thing in the second half of the first day, which that was a Tuesday. Yeah, it was a Tuesday. And then we actually went out to Topgolf or whatever it was. It's kind of like a team bonding type thing. And that was really fun. And then we ended up actually going into one of the houses and then grabbing some drinks and then, you know, just doing the usual, hey, let's talk about all the dumb stuff and make dumb jokes. And I think a good hour of that was what's considered a sandwich. So that was a thing that I tried to avoid. like hot dogs are a sandwich. I'm not. No, please don't.
I mean, that's arguable. And then
It is, but yeah, I was talking about Dungeons and Dragons with a couple of my coworkers for like, and then also I'm interested in Rails because our back end is in Rails. So I was talking to some of them and kind of, you know, just because there are people who I haven't talked to who I work with. And this was a really good thing for us to like actually have a human connection with everybody. So that was, I think, the most important thing of this, besides the fact of us like being able to still kind of get a little bit of work done, but then also just actually like tackle some of these problems. So the JavaScript workshop was really interesting, but it was kind of rough just because of how like packed that day was and the day after travel. And then like the first half was like, it was just a dense day. And we did a feedback sheet afterwards. And that was, I think, a lot of people's that was kind of everybody's feedback while we were already there. So that was interesting. The second day was just kind of like we had more time for like breaks and kind of to get up and get outside. But one was like on our QA process, because we've been going through a lot of changes. We're switching over to Jira from Asana. So that was a thing. And then there was the kind of like where our infrastructure is going, because we finally have like an actual DevOps person, or people like that are like solely dedicated to that. So we talked about some things we can do there.
I just hate Asana with a passion. I had to use it at the most recent company I was working at, and I'm like, this is a horrible way to track tasks.
it's okay. It's not the best, but it works. But it's how you use the tool. But when it comes, and I know there's a bunch of horror stories from Jira, but the way that we have it set up, because we're pretty much going all in Atlassian at this point. So we're using like Confluence, which is like their like a document type stuff and everything. And then we're doing some other stuff there. So like how we're using those and how we're kind of saying, okay, when we need to put stuff into the QA process, then here's how you do it. And we're putting these things in these like columns, and you know, so everything's like tracked and linked. And we're even trying to like integrate that as much as possible with like our Git commits and branch names. So that was one of the big things to say, okay, hey, a lot of people have had a really crap time with Jira before, and you're going to hear that it's absolute crap, but we're doing it this way. And we found, you know, my team lead, for the product launch team, she's used it plenty, like in a way that actually makes sense. So that alleviates a lot of that stuff. So far I've never used it before. So I've had a great experience with using all these things. So that's been my thing. You can complain and tweet at me, you know, and be like, wow, this sucks for this. And I'm like, hey, I'll take your word for it. But you know, like I said, I'm enjoying the way we're using it. And that's what a lot of these productivity and like tracking tools, I feel like that's something that happens, is that people just, they just use it and they don't think about how they use it from like a team structure type thing, you know?
Yeah, that's a fantastic point. You know, I feel like standardization for an entire tool that just makes sense for the team, you know, is a great way to implement things. You know, typically when I've used like task based tools in the past with other teams, the majority of the team members and the leaders are just like, all right, well, this is what we use, have at it. And like, there's no formal process or training around it. Just, I don't know, seems so inefficient.
Yeah, you can throw Asana at people or Jira at people, but you know, at the end of the day, if you don't tell them how it should be used, then they're just going to use it however the heck they want. And then you got, depending on how many people you have at your company, you might have even like six people. If you have six people using it six different ways, that can get cluttered and out of control real quick. Real quick. But yeah, so and then after that, we did some more workshoppy things. There's some really big projects that we have going on. So we merged with I'm trying to think now. Yeah, Serta, Simmons, Beautyrest, that whole big thing. So we got a couple big projects coming from that side of things too. So it was kind of like a, hey guys, here's our progress on this, and here's why we made some of these things, because we're going from, we've had a bunch of different small apps for like our retail stores and everything too, but we're going to be starting to maintain multiple large applications. kind of based off of to a degree, you know, but you know, that's, I don't want to get too much into detail. Just for the sake of, you know, I don't know what I should or shouldn't talk about on things. Yeah, so we got some cool stuff, but you know, just some of the things that we've been like, we're very open about things and it's very awesome that our VP of engineering and stuff and just all of our management team and all the engineers, no matter how, you know, junior, you know, not really like, know what, like what experience rung they're in. Like everybody just wants to make sure that we do good work and that everybody is, you know, like kind of looking out for each other. And, that's something that that whole thing kind of like encapsulated. So that was, yeah, we ended up doing like a dinner, on the second night. So everybody, we were kind of on our own for food for a minute, but we went to Topgolf. They had food there the first night. But yeah, the second night was, okay, we're going downtown Salt Lake. And if I would have known that React Rally was that Thursday and Friday, then I would have just, like, if I don't know beforehand, then I would have said, hey, I want to use my conference budget on this thing. And I would have just stayed the rest of the week, you know, because my buddy Chris DeMars, I plugged him in the last one. He's on the speaker circuit all over the place. He speaks about accessibility and CSS. He ended up taking me and offered to bring some other people like over to the hotel because he has a bunch of friends over there. So that was really cool to kind of meet some people in like the actual React sphere. And pardon the cat, it's food time and he is really hungry.
No worries, so, man.
But anyway, that was my experience there. And that was, I met some really cool people. So that was any, anyway, I don't know if that was a lot. So, and I also saw you had a question in the chat. So like, I don't know, like whatever you want to kind of talk about.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, let's segue from the React portion there. Because I'd actually stumbled upon this front end framework that doesn't use a virtual DOM. And I kind of like the approach that they're taking to it. So I cannot pronounce it to save my life, but it's S-V-E-L-T-E. And
I think it's Svelte. That's what I've heard everybody say is Svelte. It's like felt, but like, I want to say like skin. I don't know. It's, I'm going to like butcher. I'm not even going to say a country because I'll just make people mad.
But yeah, I mean, what do you think of it? Do you think it's something you would probably use in the future? Or do you see like any pluses or minuses?
I have only heard things in the multitude of podcasts, and I've heard that they completely kind of rethought the whole, like, quote unquote, like reactive, because that's kind of what all the main frameworks are anyway, is reactive. Like, I've heard good things about it, but I haven't tried it and I haven't looked at it, so I don't want to give a yay or nay opinion. I've heard good things, but that's, I will give it a shot though at some point.
Yeah, I just you know, did like a very surface look at it earlier today. And it just seemed to kind of make sense because I had been, you know, thinking about just the general like virtual DOM management and how much overhead it, you know, really does put on most apps. I would imagine for, you know, mobile and mobile first, that this would be a fantastic solution for, you know, keeping things a little bit more manageable and less intensive on like, say, a, you know, mobile device.
Lost my window. Yeah, that was, I'm looking right now. I just clicked on the examples bit right now and they have this really cool, like kind of three pane looking thing, where it's essentially like, ooh, that's cool. So it has like a bunch of like intro stuff and whatever, like reactivity and props. It's just, and then it has all the code and then all the files in it, and then it has like whatever it is on the outside. So like the result, if there's a JS or CSS output out there. And these are actually kind of cool to look at. It looks like it does a bunch of like inline styly type stuff. It's kind of Vue-ish, I want to say, where you just have a .svelte file. And if I look, nested svelte, yeah, like you can just export stuff and like just like you normally would with, I don't know how much you, yeah. You've used Vue a little bit.
Yeah,
right?
Vue and React.
I'm trying to remember. Yeah, right. So, okay, yeah, you've used both. That's right. So it seems kind of, I like the single file component thing in general. And I know that this kind of goes outside of the box of those, so I'm trying to not like put them in that box, but it's kind of hard not to. It seems really cool. I know I'm literally just like riffing as I'm like looking at code.
No,
so
good,
it's
man.
Not the best audio.
I'm in the same spot right now too. I mean, this is something new. Yeah. The syntax. Yeah, that's one thing I did like about how they set up the like component naming. They basically just use like HTML comments and that sort of thing. And it looks like a lot of this is more so, it's a bit like JSX, but a lot of it is still more object-oriented programming, it seems like. As opposed to, you know, like the React JSX and the funky ways that they kind of have you write certain things out.
They have a lot of freaking examples. This is so cool. Oh, man. I'm going to have to really dig into this because I know it was a 3.0 drop. Like it was like four months ago, I think is what it was. And that was like the big like mind blow new thing that was going on with it. So that seems, yeah, I'll have to really look into it and then have to get back to you when I have some time. I've just been kind of all over the place right now. And I'm just like, okay, what's like the most relevant thing to me right now? And it's just been, because of what I'm doing, actually, I haven't. So we used a little bit of lit HTML for a quick minute. But then we made the call like a month ago to say, hey, we just need to pick something because having multiple frameworks inside of the same project is a pain. So we ended up going with React. We started to kind of move some of that stuff out. I haven't really actually been working in any, like I barely written any JavaScript since I've been here, in all honesty, just because like what I've been doing, I'm on the product launch team, like I mentioned, and I'm doing a lot of like, okay, let's make sure like this is good for all the different like use cases that we have. But I've been writing like a little bit of CSS, especially like this past week. But mostly it's just making sure images in the right spot and things are set up in the back end and coordinating with people and wrangling for image assets and stuff. So it's so weird. I just haven't even freaking looked at, not that I haven't looked at code, but just trying to figure out how everything works, man. I haven't written JavaScript in like a month. It's so weird. Like do I forget everything already? But yeah, it's, I have to get back into that mindset before I look into this too much. Let's be real.
A big pivot from what you were doing before, where you're basically just sitting at a terminal for, you know, long hours.
Yeah, it was, I don't know, it's different. It's nice. Like, obviously, like, I can still write the code. I just got to remember how to do it. It's been interesting. I've actually been using the terminal a bit more. I've even been thinking about the switch to Vim. A lot of my coworkers are using Vim and they're doing like crazy stuff with it. And I'm tempted, but I like me some VS Code. But I've had to do a bunch of terminal stuff in general and learn how to do a little bit of Ruby stuff because we use Rails in the back end. So I've been kind of debating on that. It
seems
as well.
Like a fantastic framework to learn.
Interesting.
People that know how to, you know what they're doing in it, seems like they can develop websites in like 15 freaking minutes. Yeah.
It's like Laravel on crack, dude. It's insane. Some of the commands and stuff in the back end stuff that we do is kind of crazy. And just kind of seeing what some of our back end devs, like they are, like we have a lot of really, really smart, like sometimes it makes me, I get imposter syndrome super hard, like just about every day talking to some people, but it's pretty crazy what everybody can do, especially like with Rails. Like some of the stuff I've been seeing and they, how quickly they can just be like, oh yeah, no, like just run this command and you're fine. Oh, hey, you need to add this thing. Yeah, we should probably do like an actual interface for this thing because you keep asking about it, but we don't have time. so just run this command.
Oh, so I guess to make a sharp pivot, you had mentioned a D&D character while you were on the trip in Utah. You said you were chatting with a couple of coworkers. Yeah, are you actively in a campaign?
Oh. So excuse me. So 10 years ago I was working at McDonald's. So this is a little mini story. I'll go into a story if you don't mind hearing my D&D history. All right, cool. So we're at McDonald's and my one buddy, he'd been playing for 8 or 9 years, and he got a bunch of us to just be like, hey, let's all of you haven't played before and it'd be kind of fun. So we had like a bunch of us and there was a lot, but depending on work schedules, it worked out so that the things weren't too bad. And I after a while, we did that for like a good 9 months to a year. And I had the interest to be a dungeon master. I'm like, hey, dude, do you mind if I try it for like a dungeon? Yeah, sure, why not? So I did that. I had this cool like cult thing. They were having this orb of time or something, and like the first level was the cultist, and the second level was like each room was like an elemental like thing. So one was like earth elementals, the other one was a bunch of fire, the other one was ice, and it was pretty fun. My GM at the time, he totally destroyed the absolute crap out of my dungeon. So that was fun experience. So then about, I'd say, what, 2 years ago-ish? Yeah, about 2 years ago, he hit me up and was like, hey, you want to roll some dice? I'm like, heck yeah, dude. So ended up going over, and I rolled a, back then I played a paladin. I was just a good old human paladin. And then this past time I played, and then my wife got into it too. So that was really fun. We played that for about a year, year and a half. That campaign was going pretty good. We went from 3-5 to 5, like partway through, and we did some pretty cool stuff. I was playing a human fighter named Turg Ferdison, the drunk. We had a good time with it. I hit things good and hard. That's what I did. And there was at one point, we were having like this nightmarish type thing was happening to us, and my character actually got a little bit actually quite terrified of just an empty pint on the floor. It backed me into a corner. I was scared for my life. So then we flopped over to 5e, fifth edition, and then I was playing a sorcerer. I forgot, tiefling sorcerer. My wife was playing a ranger for a bit. She was an elf ranger. But yeah, I haven't played really in quite a while. And I'm setting up with some of my friends. I tried the DM for a bit, but there was like 8 people and like actual players, and I didn't know who was going to show up, and that many people was crazy. So I kind of stopped that. But a couple of my close friends and my wife, we're going to start back up again with actually one of my coworkers. I'm still working on that, and we got to find some time to actually do it. But we found this really cool book called Rolled and Told. It's like this big book of a bunch of like kind of pre-made adventures and like mini campaigns with some extra characters and stuff in there too, to kind of pull from. So I'm going to see what I can do with that. I'm thinking about doing some, just like a series of adventures, and then try and find a way to string them together, to like eventually come up with this really cool, like backstory, like thing. But otherwise I just want to roll some dice, man. You know?
Yeah.
Like, well, and right have on, my man. Friends kill
you
stuff.
Know, I find it's, pretty difficult to find like a quality DM. So if, you ever decide to do like a semi-remote session, I'd love to join it.
Yeah. Well, depending on how that one goes, we're doing that one online, 'cause my other friends are over on the other side of Michigan. They're over in Detroit side, 'cause I'm on the west side. And then my other coworker, I think he's down in Florida. So we're doing that online, but depending on how that goes, I don't want to add like too much, but, I also do enjoy your company. So, who knows? Maybe we'll something that'd be fun. We could do a code career campaign.
Well, yeah, that's a lot currently of work, in a campaign with a my girlfriend and a couple of her friends. We're I'm not sure where the campaign's actually headed at this point, but it's been pretty fun. I'm playing like a warlock or redneck who also has alcohol problems. So it's been.
Oh no!
Yeah, it's been pretty fun to roleplay.
Something in common.
But we're still like low levels. I think I'm only like level 3, something like that. First time rolling a warlock, and actually I think it's the first time playing 5th edition too. I had previously transitioned from 3.5 edition, and I just love how like all of the attacks of opportunity and all of those like somewhat unnecessary mechanics were removed from the game, and it's really streamlined. I'm definitely a big fan of that.
Yeah, it's nice. They just kind of let you do whatever you want to do and just make it not difficult. It's fun. I like it. Yeah. I would there's this, so one thing I was interested, if I can find it. It's D&D Beyond, dndbeyond.com. It's a thing by Curse. So the reason this is relevant to tech, because it is like a big old web app that they use for you to like kind of keep track of characters and everything, and even campaigns if you really want to. I mean, you got to pay for like the books to have access to certain things and stuff. You know, I mean, they have to make money. I was looking actually to apply for them at some point, but that's over in SF. But I kind of want to do some sort of thing because I use Roll20. And I like Roll20, but something, I just want to do a D&D project. Now, of course, I have a million freaking project ideas, and I have stuff that I still haven't worked on in a while. So apologies on that one there, Ben. Code Career Journal. I just haven't had time. But yeah, like I've been wanting to do like a D&D thing for a while. I just don't know what. That's the problem. And I think that'd be kind of fun to
give you a like, chance to bust out your rail skills and
learn something with too.
You know, cut your teeth on it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, develop you the rail small, skills first. Like,
I have to actually write it to have any skills in the first
like
place.
And then, like a simple CRUD app where you just like, I don't know, write down items in an inventory. And then, like, eventually, you could pretty much do like a whole digital character sheet.
That would be actually really fun. Ooh. And then if I really wanted to get crazy on it, I could implement some of the rules and it would auto like generate some of the rules and stuff. I mean, I'd pretty much be recreating like what Roll20 does, but I don't care. I don't care about recreating stuff. Then if I'm going to learn something, I'm going to
inch up. If you come up with any ideas along the way, and, then it's homebrewed, you know, and you can do all you know, that. Basically add in anything else you want.
Be kind of fun. Can make it custom for my own house rules, or have like a rule generator or something, or what? Well, I don't know, I'd be we always come up with some off the wall idea. Like this. Enough, this is fun. This is what I like talking to you, Ben. It's a good time. You give me too many ideas, man.
Creative problems.
Ain't that the truth, man?
So yeah, man, how's World of Warcraft been going? I saw that you know, on Discord you've been playing that a bit.
Yeah, so now that I actually have time and somewhat financial resources to really play, I just didn't have time to play. I've been a raider for God knows how long, so I actually just had a little bit of, not guild drama, but I don't know, there was some. But anyway, people left, people got mad, things happened, and we just switched servers, actually. So I've been playing at the high level Mythic for a while on retail, and Classic came out. I played that for like a couple days. Queue times got crazy, like really crazy. And I'm like, yeah, this is okay. But I kind of like playing with people in like the live game. So I don't know. I'll see how that goes. There's a lot of people who are like pro one or the other. The other one is stupid, you know, the polarizing opinion thing. But it's been fun just playing other characters and just trying to figure out what I want to do.
Right
and,
on, man.
Yeah, killing bosses, cool. Man. Banging my head up against hard bosses.
And close off, are there like any books or podcasts that you've discovered recently that you've been pretty hooked on?
Oh, crap. There's like one or two. I know Kent, I think he mentioned this in his... I think he mentioned this in his interview, but he has this Chats with Kent or something. Chats with Kent podcast. He's been doing that. That's been really cool to talk to. He's been just talking to all sorts of people. He actually had two episodes with Dan Abramoff, so that was pretty cool. Emma Wedekind, Eric Berry, Scott Hanselman, Sean Wang, like Sue Hinton, a bunch of people. And then I don't know. I might have also mentioned this too. Ladybug podcast has been awesome. Got to meet Lindsay Kopek. I don't know how to say her last name. Met her at the hotel bar at React Rally for like 2 seconds. So that was really cool. And they do some really, really awesome stuff. It's been weird because I'm working from home, right? So I haven't really had, not that I haven't had time to listen. It's just that I don't like to listen while I'm working. I listen like just straight music when I'm doing work. So since I don't like have a commute, like my shower in the morning is my commute. It's like my brain switch. So Yeah, I got to step that up a bit more and see what's like, since I've been doing a bunch of Warcraft grindy stuff, I should put that in there.
Yeah, I haven't been.
I don't know if you've seen really anything kind of crazy. Really I've just on, been on Twitter,
social
just
media or anything recently,
following all the drama and the memes.
Yeah, definitely been digging pretty deep into cat memes recently.
Hey man, there is nothing wrong with that.
All right, man. Well, it was, should totally link some of the. You know, it's been a while since we've actually had cat memes, time to just sit down and chill and chat. So, you know, really appreciate you hopping on with me.
Yeah, no problem, man. Glad we were able to chat. Like I said, I know a bunch of scheduling conflict things and whatnot. And sorry, everybody, for lack of stuff, but everybody's got, we got a lot of stuff going on. And then a couple things kind of, you know, I fell through, but, you know, sometimes either like just schedule conflicts and things. So, yeah, hopefully we can at least get, I think that we can at least try and get one a month so that we're not like completely dead.
Right,
I do enjoy having these conversations, and I know it is a lot of work actually getting this up.
You know, Ali Patel has been doing a ton of podcasts, so I'll have to reach out to her. I know she's been, you know, super active, and I imagine pretty responsive.
Yeah, I got to hit up a couple people, Sarah Withy and whatnot, that they replied to our stuff. When we asked like 2-3 months ago, but I never actually said anything back to them. So I know there's a couple who are interested, so we'll have to reach out. But anyway, yeah, we'll keep you guys updated and let you know what's up. But yeah.
Yeah, sure. We're at 700 members now. Once we get to 1,000,
join the Discord. We're trying to be active.
I believe we can apply
we need more
to
people,
some
so
sort of a specialized list on the Discord website. So I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, I think at the beginning of the year, we were only at 250 members, so quite surprising. You know, we've grown quite a bit this year. So
oh, sweet. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, likewise, dude. All right. Well, I'm going to go. Yep. Later.
Thank you. Good job, Ben. I appreciate you, man. All the work you put into this. So, anyway. See you, man. See you guys.